I am just a sinner saved by grace. Isn't that true? Amen. It's good to have Brother Jerry Moore again with us tonight, and appreciate his preaching this week, and look forward to tonight. Come on, Brother Moore.
Thank you. All right. I think I'm already working.
Yeah.
You got the power on. That's what it is. Turn me down a little bit. I don't want to be too loud. I've got a voice that just reaches a certain pitch, and it just feels like it'd blow your head off. So I can't help that. That's what God gave me, and I'm going to use it. But I really appreciate your church. I appreciate all that you've done for missions. Now, when you've been a missionary and you've been a pastor and then you're back pastoring again, you still love missions. You still love those men that are carrying the gospel around the world. And my heart goes out to these young missionaries. Brother Leslie, you know what I'm talking about because you've already been there a good, what, two terms? Going third one? Two? And you'll have to pray for him. You get wore out too, buddy. I guarantee you, you do. And I've known a lot of missionaries that have gone and gone and gone, and then they just can't go anymore. Their health's gone, and you know, it happens to all of us that way. I want to thank the church for all it's done. Now, I know you have a fluctuation of different people here, and I don't know you that well, but I see some faithful servants of the Lord, and they're going to be here. I don't care if the Blame Rangers are playing. I hope they get rained on just for that. Shouldn't be playing on church night. Every one of you are DVR'd it. I know you are. And as soon as you get to the door, get out of the way. Yeah, I know what you're going to do. I don't like something DVR'd or taped or whatever you want to call it. It's just nothing like live, is it? We have a new church in our town, and it's called Raw. They pipe in this man that preaches, have a big screen, and you probably could eat your food that way, you think? You're eating your spiritual food that way, and there's plenty of churches. But believe it or not, they're growing. We have another new group that started. It's called the Motorcycle Church. That's all it is, motorcyclers. And believe it or not, they're getting a crowd. In Oklahoma City, they went into one of the large places that is a public place and rented it, and it's called the Devil's Church. And got on TV and wore a devil's face and said, "We don't believe in God. This is the devil's church. We want to invite you to come." I knew one preacher that had a man in a devil's costume out there with a pitchfork saying, "Don't go in there, don't go in there." So the devil's been doing that without anybody prompting you this week to keep you out of the services. How many of you have been here every service all the way through? May the Lord bless your faithfulness. You know, I appreciate those that cooked the meal last night on the fish, and you ladies that cooked, and we went through the international dinner, and I appreciate all of you that just worked and worked and worked all the way through. You say, "Well, how do you know?" My wife and I have been doing that for a long time, and when there's more of you, it doesn't hurt you as bad, but when there's less of you, there's a lot more work, isn't it? And so some of you I know worked really hard, and I want to thank you for that. Thank you, Pastor, for the room, wonderful room over there. I'm very envious of his place, and you know, his house, beautiful house. God's blessed him. And he and I was talking about it today. I said, "The only thing you got to do is just get it free and clear. That's what you got to do." You know, a lot of you have nice houses, but it's not free and clear. You're not debt free. And the room that he has for missionaries and preachers and different ones to stay in is a wonderful room. And I appreciate he and his wife going to the expense of having that and then also providing everything for you. And so I want to thank him personally for that. This will be my last night. So if you can't catch me between here and the car, then I guess you can catch me and talk to me. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I've enjoyed it. I appreciate you having me. We never that I know of, at one time when I was mission director for IBFI, I had to cancel all the appointments when I took the church. And, you know, it hurt me to think about, you know, I could have been saying something for missions. And that's where I see that if I can raise money for missions, then what a great thing to do is to see missionaries be able to go. If all these new missionaries were supported by you, I guarantee it's worth it all. Amen? And I hope that it'll be encouragement to you. In our missions conference, we encourage our people to give. We do not set aside in our budget their love offering. Their love offering is totally given by our people. We run between 60 and 70 on Sunday morning. And you know how Baptists are, like tonight, you know. They're up and down on the other days, Sunday night and Wednesday night. But sometimes we'll have a love offering that's just unbelievable. God does it, and He does it all through the people. And I just tell them, if you want these missionaries to have something to go home with, you're going to give it. We'll take care of all the other expenses, including their motel and their meals and all the things. We do that. But if you're going to give them anything, 100% of what you put in the plate is going to go to the missionary. And the speaker. Dr. House is usually our speaker. And so sometimes it'll run as much as $3,500 a missionary. Sometimes as much as $2,450. Whatever's given is given to them, whatever it is. If it were $1 million, we'd give it to them. And the Lord knows that. And so these people need it. You may not think they need it, but they need it because they're traveling all over the country. And everywhere you go, gasoline is not any cheaper than $3.50 a gallon anywhere you go. And then also the motels are not cheap either. And we used to have lists of different mission houses, and those have gotten slimmer and slimmer. And there's a lot of problems these missionaries face. Plus having a baby. That's kind of in there too, you know. That's part of it. I know three of the families were going to be having babies, so we got one ready to go here, so you pray for her. And pray for Brother Smith too. Let's stand out of love and respect of God's Word. Let's turn to John chapter 6. We're going to do the last I Am tonight. And I'm going to start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw the miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now, guys, I'm not trying to be smart or nothing, but folks, these are not mountains. They just barely are a hill, okay? They're not real tall. They're just kind of rounded like this, okay? Not like the Rockies or something like that, okay? And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh, and Jesus then lifted up His eyes. He saw a great company come unto Him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Do you think He's God? Say amen. Amen. Philip answered Him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? I want you to note something in your Bible. If you write in your Bible, don't write over the words of the Bible, because that's Holy Scripture. But in the margin of that Bible, I think it's safe to put a little arrow and say they gave what they had. The only one that gave was a little boy. Isn't that something? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and it numbered 15. No, my glasses are not working. What does it say? But notice what else it said. It said, make the men sit down. Women and children were not allowed to worship with men. They had an area in the temple where they had the women and children's area. If a young man after 13 is bar mitzvah, he was sitting with the men from then on. You'll note also when that child was weaned that the father received custody of that child. He was to rear that child, train that child, teach that child, and teach him everything he knew about the Scripture. What did I say? Men. Not mom take the kids to church or Sunday school. Men are to do that in the church and in the temple. And Jesus, notice here, took the loaves. Now this is a little lad's lunch. This wasn't big five loaves that you buy at the dollar store, okay? This wasn't a big, one of the big grocery stores. This was not something that was baked huge and handed five of these big loaves to a little kid. This is a little kid's lunch. What was your lunch when you went to school? Well, it wasn't much. Now, Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes as they would. And then when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 basketfuls with the fragments of the five loaves and barley loaves, and remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I'm going to ask you to skip on over. Talking about these disciples and then also these people that got into Moses' day and the miracles and the loaves and followed Jesus. In verse 27 he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's very prevalent today too, folks. They said therefore unto him, what sign show us then that we may see and believe? Now, they've already seen him take a little lad's lunch and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And they're asking him, what sign you going to show us? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Father, I ask your blessing on the reading of your word, and that Jesus Christ would be honored, glorified, and no one else. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think either three or four times Jesus says this over and over again. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Say that with me. I am the bread of life. Jesus said that. In verse 44, he makes a statement that's really strong. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Except the Spirit draw him. Except God draw him. Except Christ draw him. Folks, I brought people to church and they didn't have no more interest. They've even come and said, we need something to eat. We need clothes. We need a place to stay. But before I even do anything with them, talk with them, or give them anything, they've sat through the service. You have to come to church. And then we might give you something if we take up an offer. We have no funds set aside for people that's transient just to walk in and want you to give them something. We have more places in Duncan, Oklahoma to get food than any other place you can think of. Pantries of all kinds, churches, people giving and helping and working. He said, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days, as is written in the prophets. They shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. And then our famous scripture, verily, verily, I say unto you, look at it. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now say the next few words again. I am the bread of life. He says it again in verse 51. I am the living bread. He said, if you eat me, and then he gets into the discussion of eating the flesh of Christ and taking his blood, which is fine. I have no problem with that. That's what we do in remembrance of him when we have the Lord's Supper. But yet these guys couldn't remember it, and it wasn't very long until everybody left. Said, we can't take any more of this. This guy's nuts. But you remember, he said, I am that I am. Remember, he is declaring, I am God. Folks, he's still God. When we see the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, the dead in Christ shall rise first, during that time, we're already there. We'll have the 1,000-year reign. We'll have the great white throne judgment, and the devil and the beast, the false prophets, are cast in the lake of fire in verse 10. And they're going to be there in the lake of fire forever and ever. Amen. They deserve it. Then he goes on to talk about those dead that physically they have been in the water or in the grave. They're brought forth, but their spirit and soul are united with the body and stand before the great white throne judgment. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Lake of fire. This is the second death. We know that. Now, folks, you either let Christ pay for all your sin and go to heaven, or you pay for every sin you've ever committed and stand before him, because all judgment is turned over to Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I think every one of us will be in the wing here. 1,000-year reign will be over. Here we'll be standing and watching Christ judge the whole earth that is lost. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that some people you will come before Christ, and I think they'll look directly at us, our friends, our loved ones, people we know, people we work with, people we've been around, people we've witnessed to in other countries, and people that we've preached to. You know what? When they're cast into the lake of fire, I think that's part of that part when Christ says that he's going to wipe away all tears. I think you're going to have some tears wiped away when you see people cast into the lake of fire. If those people in England don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, where are they going to go? They're going to go to hell and then eventually go to the lake of fire. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, folks, we need to come to the fact that Jesus Christ could take a few little loaves and a few little fishes, two little fish, and those kind of fish are no bigger than your hand. It's almost the size of that piranha they had out there from Brazil, about that same size. When we went to Brazil, when we went to Israel, Marcia said she wanted to have that kind of fish that the disciples had, and they had a little restaurant there. She got the fish. I said, I wouldn't eat that thing. There's not enough meat on it. It's all skin and it's all bones. And she began to eat. She said, it's pretty good, Jerry. You ought to try it. And no, I want a hamburger or something, you know. But she did. She had it and ate it. But you got to pull the meat, you know, skin back and pull a little meat. I can remember growing up as a kid. My grandparents reared it. They didn't fillet the fish and fix it the way I do. And we spoil our families, preacher. We spoil our people in the congregation. We spoil our country. We're spoiled. Say amen. Over there, they in Brazil, they just take a fish like this, and here he is, and they chop him up like this and throw him in the pot and boil him, you know. And you can have a little bit of soup with it, you know. And it's not very good. Now, they don't know how to fix fish like we do. Now, I fillet the fish, and then I go in and I clean it, and then I fillet it again and I fix it. I like it to where, now that I had not eaten thick like that. That was really good. Normally I thin it out and Miss Marcia puts all that meal on it. And I'll have two big cookers sitting there and dropping them in, and then all my hungry kids come over and relatives and they eat all that. And you say, well, something wrong with this, you know, something wrong with this. If I didn't enjoy fishing, I'd say there's something wrong with that. But you see, somebody had to catch it. Somebody had to cook it. Somebody had to do it. But one thing for sure, Jesus Christ could take a little lad's lunch and he could have 12 basketfuls left over. How big were the baskets? Doesn't matter. The thing is, he could have fed 20 or 30 or 50 or 100,000 or 7 billion people he could feed. Because he is the bread of life. That's what I want you to get across. I am the bread of life. But you know what? You're the little lad tonight, because you've got to decide what you want to give. He said, here, I'll give it all. He had a lunch. He's the only one that gave anything, right? Give what God puts on your heart. Give what God can speak to you about. He is the bread of life. If we carry him to the other country. But you say, well, surely God's not going to send all those billions of people to hell. Yes, he is. Because they didn't choose him when they had it in their ancestry. You read Romans chapter 1. God will send them to hell. You read it where somebody failed them. I don't know who it was in your family, but somebody told you about Jesus Christ, or somebody came by and run a bus route by your place, or somebody invited you to church and you accepted Christ. Somebody cared enough to bring you to Christ. Now, folks, I love our country. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth. But we have so much, we don't even appreciate what we've got. I mean, the more I see it, the more I'm convicted about it. I do, too. I have more than I could ever use. When Marcia and I came home from Brazil, we had 4 suitcases, and those trunk-type suitcases, not very pretty, but we carried 4 cases home. And those clothes are 4 years out of date. I don't think we wore hardly any of them. And they still smell like Brazil. There's a certain smell. It smells sour. Smells yucky. If you went down to the bayous of Louisiana, it kind of smells similar to that. But you know what? I've still got a briefcase that I've got all kind of stuff still in. I can open that briefcase from Brazil, and you can get a fresh scent. You know, one of the things you don't get when you're showing these slides, when you're showing all those slides, it used to be, listen, folks, y'all got it easy. I'm telling you, you do. I used to tell the missionaries, now, missionary, just take about 15, 20 minutes, so after about 45 minutes or an hour, him explaining every slide, then we'd get on with the meeting. We take 8 or 9 minutes. Is yours 8 or 9 minutes? 6? 10, 9. You see what we're doing? We're expressing everything, man. We're making it faster. We don't want to hear about all those things. We don't want to be convicted that all these churches are closing. We don't want to see those hungry people. We don't want to see people dying and going to hell. Just express it through here. But you see, Jesus is the bread of life. And it'll help you to realize, if you don't give it, who will? They won't get it at the bar. They won't get it at City Hall. They won't get it anywhere else. It's through these men that we'll have to reach the world, and there's 7 billion there. Actually, October 31st, there will be 7 billion people in the world by then. October 31st is the date. 7 billion people. You'll note, as Jesus took his men, and I'm not going to go, there's 15 sermons here, and I'm not going to take that time. But as he took his men, and even walking on the water, and People say, how'd he get over there? I don't know. Here he's going to side. He's tired. Folks, you have no idea how tired those missionaries will get traveling across the country. Just from place to place to place to place. It's a lot better to be on the field because you're in one place. Okay? It's a lot better then. Jesus and his disciples were kind of pulled off to the side. And you'd think, well, he cannot be hid. His fame had spread somehow. Someone would tell about who they had healed. Someone would tell about what he had done. Before long, somebody would say there, I know I saw Jesus and his disciples. Hey, I saw him going. You know what? They didn't have TV in that day, so they watched their neighbors. Amen? Most of you have a TV in every room. Amen? I don't know. There's a new thing where they go through and they stop everything, and then you go to the next one and you stop everything. No telling what it'll be in the next. You guys come back to mission field, we'll have the kind that's the virtual where they'll be out there in the room acting it all out. We can go down and buy the latest seeds, but we can't send missionaries around the world to reach 7 billion people. 10% of that 7 billion are supposedly Christians. And that includes Catholic, all kind of cults. 10% of that 7 billion. We will stand there at that great white throne judgment. Is he a little irritated when people start showing up? I'm talking about a few of them. You saw 5,000 men plus women and children. In the other Gospels, it says that. There's another time that he fed 4,000 men plus women and children. He could feed any amount of people. He could have the rocks to stand up and give out the gospel in every country. He could have the trees to preach the gospel. But he chose man to carry the gospel around the world. Go ye! Who? Me? You're a born again believer. You're to go. While they're going there, Brother Leslie's going there, Brother Smith's going over there. That's sad that one of the great nations that believed in God and stood for God, guess what? You see all those churches closed? That is our nation one of these days. And it's already beginning to happen. You know who's not closing? Those that stand up and preach the gospel. Yet, is he irritated? He's God. The disciples were, and he said, Lord, send them away. Lord, we've had enough of all this healing and working and passing out the bread. And somebody said, well, what did they do with the 12 baskets full? Well, they had 12 apostles that were serving. All of you that were serving, did you eat until everybody else had eaten? When you serve, you don't eat. Well, maybe the preacher and I. Hey, we're cooking fish. We got to sample it, see if it's any good. Number one, he desires that they should be fed. God still desires that the world should be fed the bread of life. Number two, he knows where the supply is to come from. Verse 6 says, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Folks, I believe that God has chosen people that will not go into the nations and will not go into the rest of the world. Many are chosen, many are called, few are chosen, but you're going to find out a lot of people never make it to seminary, never finish seminary, never go to the field of whatever God has called them to. Folks, I believe that God calls people enough to reach the world. Now, I'm going to say another thing right here, and probably someone will get angry at me again, but that's all right. That old loudmouth preacher from Oklahoma said it. If we had those 40 million babies that have been aborted in our economy today, we wouldn't need to worry about the things of taxes and so on, and everything would be well taken care of. Folks, when we get to heaven, those that's doing the butchering is going to stand accountable to God for that. Make a stand. Don't just say, well, that's their choice. It's not their choice. God calls it murder. So make a stand on it. Preacher, make a stand on it. Christians, make a stand on it. Can you imagine this missionary's little baby, if somebody went in there and just ripped that child out and pulled it out? Oh, Lord, to get my gun. And that's another subject. I don't even get off on that. I think we have a right to carry a gun. Now, I'm old-fashioned. Now, he knows where the supply is to come from. No one is needed to advise him. Who is the wisdom of God? He is the wisdom of God. He knew what he would do, not what he would want to do. Folks, he knows today what he can do with you and me. If he can use me to pipeline me to the giving of the nations, to the giving to people that are going around the world, then he can use you too. No more than you make, God can use you no matter what you make. I have little ladies with an income that's just, oh, it's pathetic what they get every month. And they still give faithful. Still get and raise it every year. I don't know how they do it. Only God knows. He knew what he would do. Number three, he seeks the thoughtful interests of his followers. Jesus in verse 5 lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. Do you think God sees, Christ sees 7 billion souls? Yes, every one of them. And he died for them on the cross already. Is Christ not saying to the church today, when shall we find bread? When shall we buy bread? When shall we send money? When shall we send men and women and boys and girls around the world? How can we send them? He knows the need. But do you know the need? Lord, help us. That the hungry millions, billions in all the world may eat the bread of life. And I'm talking about, not talking about regular bread. I'm talking about Jesus, the bread of life. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Lord, thou knowest. That's what the disciples said. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, help my unbelief. That's what we need to pray, don't we? Lord, help my unbelief. There's no telling what you could do if you just step back and say, God, whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give my tithe and offering. I'm going to give my mission offering. And I'm going to count on you to supply all my needs. He does anyway. He supplies our needs. I didn't say wants. Our needs. And I'm going to touch on all of us. And we all got to, every once in a while, I just have to go and buy Miss Marcia a brand new rod and reel. She needs it, you know. And every once in a while, I have to buy her a new shotgun too, preacher. Now, she hasn't used it much, but I help her out with it. We've got things we really don't need. It's called want. But fourth of all, he makes use of a little gift. What have you got? What have you got? Little lad has a lunch here. 12 basketfuls left over. I personally think they went to the disciples. I've heard Brother Smith, Bob Smith, preach that he got all 12 of them. Well, the little boy didn't need any more lunch because he got to eat with the 30,000. And he didn't want any more of that little old bony fish and bread. And I believe that the 12 apostles got 12 baskets. Whoever got them, I don't care. I just know there's 12 left over. What do you do with leftovers? Send them on with the preacher. Amen. Send them on with the missionaries. Send them on with somebody that has a need for them. Will you eat this? Take this home. He makes use of the little gifts, and Jesus took the loaves and he blessed them. Folks, with what little we've got, should we not count on God blessing it? Won't it go further with God's blessing? Won't it go further when we give that tenth to the Lord that belongs to Him? That belongs to Him. That's His. And if we begin to give, and we give more than the tenth and give more than 30%, we begin to give 50% of our income to the church and to missions. What if we give more than 50%? Does God bless that? Many years ago, J.C. Penney learned to do just that. He's dead and gone, and his family didn't follow. But he got up to his J.C. Penney years and years ago. He gave 90% of all of his income, all of his profit to the Lord. Isn't that something? He set a salary for himself, and his company got the 10% back, and God got the 90%. God blessed that company and it became a great company. Folks, I could go on and on and on, but you see, you and I have to declare he makes use of what we give him, even if it's a little lad's lunch. He himself, number five, is all sufficient for this emergency. Look at verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Listen, he distributed to the disciples, and his disciples to them that were set down. Now they're in 50s, the men were, and women and children separate. Likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. He gave thanks, he break it. Now, I can't see these little biscuits being more than that big. Can you imagine him breaking that and giving it to 12 disciples out of 5? If he broke 5 in half, that wouldn't be enough, so a little force. And then he gave it to the men, and the men in turn began to break it and give it. And not all of them were hogs and stuck it all in their mouth. They just kept passing it down and it kept growing. It's like the meal barrel and the oil that Elijah talks about. He said, bring me the little cake first. Then you and your son shall have. You know what? It's kind of like that. You've got to bless it and break it and say, Lord, here it is. And then God multiplies it. God uses it. But God can't do it unless we pray over it and give it back to God. And so he himself is all sufficient. In any emergency, in any situation, if they had left after being there 3 days, I'm telling you, these were not Baptists. They didn't eat for 3 days. We Baptists would have done been in our truck and gone. Got something to eat and come back and said, what'd you say now? Huh? 3 days? And he said, give them to eat. Give them to eat. Give them something to eat. We don't have 200 pennies worth. And yet, one of the disciples said, we got a little lad here. Thank God for little lads. Sometimes adults had already eaten all their food and all their kids had eaten all their food. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He compared himself to that bread. He compared himself to those that had searched for him afterwards and tried to chase him down and say, let's keep up with this guy. He'll feed us and take care of us. They were coming for the bread. Some people will come to the church for the bread, for the meal. You have a big meal and you advertise it, everybody in this country will come. But give them the bread a lot too. He himself is all sufficient. And then, sixth of all, he feeds the hungry through his own disciples. Notice he did not give it to them, but he break it, blessed it, break it, and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave to those people. I want to ask you a question. How do we send our missionaries? It has to be through the people. Preacher and I'd love to be billionaires and support all the missionaries. But that's not what God wants. God wants each of us to share in sending those missionaries around the world. Then to come back and tell about how many churches they started and tell about people getting saved and show the number of baptisms and show the number of people that they've won to Christ and show the number of people that they have won to Him and that their people have won to them and their people had won to them. You see, it's passing it on down and blessing it and breaking it. And that bread of life continues to be carried. We, like the disciples of old, are greatly privileged in having this heavenly bread. This bread that I am that I am. This is God. This is manna. This is the bread of life. It is Jesus. Then he says in verse number 7, he says that he provides enough for all. In verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, and he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that there were sat down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Hey, they were filled. They were filled. That's got to be a miracle. People were 3 days with nothing to eat. They'd be starving to death, but it doesn't make any difference. Jesus just kept feeding it to them, just kept breaking it to them, just kept feeding it to them. Now, I read to you several times, verse 33, he talks about the bread of God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. In verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. In verse 48, he said, I am that bread of life. In verse 51, he said, I am the living bread. I don't know about you, but I've preached it 100 ways. Maybe it wasn't this much. I think maybe it was 5 little biscuits about that size or about this size. Maybe just about this size. And he began to just pinch it off and give. Now, Miss Marcia would have asked, did you wash your hands? You ladies were already thinking that, wasn't you? Now, Jesus began to bless it and break it. Now, I want to ask you a question. If he's the bread of life, take a piece of that bread, would you? Take a piece of that bread, would you? If he's the bread of life, and we're going to give it to everyone, and we're going to give it, and if I pass you out this bread, now don't eat it yet. If I pass you out this bread, and you're not hungry enough to eat it, if you're starving for 3 days, you would. I imagine they went, mm. Now, I'm going to pass this bread out. If you take one piece of this bread, if you take just one piece of this bread and one morsel of this bread and you put it in your mouth, you're going to live forever. You want this bread? Amen. Now, if it's true, if this is Jesus saying, if you take one bite of Jesus Christ, you'll live forever. Now, you don't have any bread. Just these right here. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Us 9 and no more. Take a little nibble of that. You're going to live forever. Do you want some? You want some? Do you want some? You young people want to live forever? You'll never die. How many of you would like to have some bread that you could live forever? Now, these have got it. I'm not going to give you any. You say, why not? Because it's us 9 and no more. This is exactly what you're doing in your churches today in America. You're feeding your families, you're feeding your people, you're feeding, and we're fat with bread of God. But the world is starving to death. Because they don't have bread. Let's pray. Lord, you're the bread of life. You're the living bread. You're the everlasting bread. Unless we send these missionaries around the world, we'll fail. Lord, we don't want to fail. We want to reach the world. How can we reach them except through you? Through your blessing and through these to carry the gospel. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name.